We now begin this discourse of our Lord about the concretization of faith in the Eucharist. And if we stop and reflect on what we're dealing with, Almighty God became a human being, entered into our life, our world, felt hunger and thirst and cold and heat, was rejected, mocked. This is God. And all he had in mind was dying for us and leaving us the fruit of his death and resurrection in the bread and wine of the Eucharist, to care for us, to heal us, to feed us, strengthen us. Only in heaven will we see the role that the Eucharist has played in our life, the sins that we've been prevented from committing, the physical and spiritual healings that have been granted to us. And so we begin today this discourse. And you'll notice it's about who gives the bread, this first part. The crowd says, well, what can you do? Remember yesterday, the work of God. What's your work? What do you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as is it written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Well, the he there in the psalm is God. But in the tradition, it was sort of God through Moses, or Moses, or because Moses was great. And Jesus says, no. It was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, the bread from heaven. Rather, my Father gives you, he's still giving it, the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is not this manna that disappeared when the sun came out. It is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Later on we'll understand this is the Son of Man. You see, the Son of Man always means Jesus is coming down to be among us and revealing the Father to us, most especially in his death and resurrection. And returning where he was to bring us with him. That's the Son of Man. And he'll use that title of himself later in the discourse. So they said, look, sir, Kyrie, Lord, literally, but give us this bread always. Jesus said, I am the bread. I'm the bread. I'm what you live by. I'm your strength. I'm the bread. And then he says, well, how do we eat you? And he says, whoever comes to me will never hunger. And whoever believes in me will never thirst. Now in John's way of expressing what he learned from the Lord, to come to Jesus and to believe in him are the same thing. Belief is always coming to Jesus. You don't believe in Jesus, and I believe you, I'm really great, I'm glad you did all that, thanks a lot. That's not belief. That's acknowledgement. Belief is, I go to you. I humble myself before you. I'm in awe before your love. I come to you. Everything I need is in you. That's to come, and that's faith. We'll see the same thing later in chapter 7. Don't think we'll see it during Easter. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me. And let him believe, and let him drink, rather, he who believes in me. It's the same thing. come to me. Now, it takes a deep instruction from the Holy Spirit to grasp this. The words, we've heard them since childhood, most of us. What does it mean to come to Jesus? Have I ever experienced what that means? Remember, as we're going to hear, remember, this is a discourse on faith at another level. And the faith is the work of God, right? It's the work of the Father. And so four times in this discourse, we're going to hear a refrain like, nobody comes to me unless the Father draw him. Nobody comes to me. Nobody believes in me. Nobody hungers for me. Nobody thirsts for me. Nobody's willing to give up everything to follow me unless the Father draw him. This is all the work of the Father. The Father loves us. He wants us to be one with him. So he gives us his Son to bring us to him. And the Father initiates the process by bringing us to Jesus. If we're in this chapel this morning, it's by the free will gift of God the Father.